Luke 19. We'll start in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Brother Bauman, give us the correct non-American pronunciation of Zacchaeus. Okay, all right. I'm going with Zacchaeus. You're right, you're good. But the song says Zacchaeus was a wee little man. It doesn't roll as well with Zahai was a wee little man. Yeah, okay, that's what I said. Back to the scriptures. Verse 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. But he was an athlete, verse 4, and he ran before, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And God, as we read this passage, maybe we think of a childhood story. But God, the depth of your love and knowledge is seen throughout these verses and reminded each of us that, Lord, you know us personally. God, you desire a personal relationship with us, and God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray you bless the service here tonight. May you be honored and glorified, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the story of Zacchaeus is, as I said, one maybe we learned in Sunday school. Brother Rice probably sings the song up in junior church, right? And it's a story we're familiar with. But let's be careful that we not, in our familiarity, just skip over maybe some important truths or something that the Lord would like to teach us from here. As we start in our passage in verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Oftentimes, the Lord Jesus Christ runs into people, and he'll tell us about those people. Very rarely, though, do they name him. There was a rich man, or there was this, or there was a man of this city, or that, and it would reference them. But here we actually have his name. Maybe it was a man of prominence, and him coming to the Lord was a great thing, a mighty thing, and people of that day and age would recognize that, and maybe would stand out, and God would somehow get glory and honor just simply by naming the name Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he was one of being in charge, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Of course, the publicans were not liked. They were tax collectors. Matthew comes to mind as we think of that. The Bible says that he was rich. It was understood that as a tax collector, there was no set amount. Rome just expected a certain amount of taxes, and the tax collector would kind of take some for themselves. So Jewish people, taxing Jewish people for the Roman Empire, surprisingly, weren't well liked. He was wealthy. He was one of prominence. He was one of being in charge. And the Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Isn't that good? Hey, there's a desire. This man, I think it distinguishes, why did he tell us he was rich? Because in our minds, we think rich people have everything taken care of, right? I don't need anything. We've run into that person. We start talking about the Lord, and their wealth backs them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus. But we know deep down inside, every person has this natural draw or need for what Christ is offering. Hope, forgiveness of sin, peace. And Zacchaeus didn't have that. He heard of Christ, but he just wanted to see him for himself. The Bible says, and he could not for the press. This is a familiar circumstance. We see this as we look at our characters here. As Zacchaeus is trying to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't. Why not? Because there's a crowd. Why would there be a crowd around this man that it seems like no matter where he went, people hated him? Because he did miracles. Because he was the Son of God. He was God himself manifest in the flesh. His teachings were unlike any other teaching. He had a 100% success rate in healing. Yeah, you better believe he had a crowd. Mark chapter 2, we see that there was a crowd of people, and some friends lowered their friend into the house, right? They tore apart the house and lowered the man that was sick of the palsy. In Mark chapter 5, a woman pushes through the press, the crowd, to try and get to Jesus, for she had an issue with blood, right? Mark chapter 9 reminds us that Christ, in the midst of the sea of people, still had compassion on the people. This past weekend, I told you we went just outside of Albany, and I was in a very strange scenario in that I was in a large group of people where I knew very few people. Normally, when you go to a wedding and stuff, you know a lot of people, but I knew the bride and groom and a couple other students that were there, and that was about it, and I felt awkward. Could you imagine always looking out over a sea of people and knowing every person's name? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine looking out over a mass of people, so much so that people, like if Mr. Bauman wanted to get to me, he could just walk right up here. Could you imagine having so many people that if you wanted to get to me, you could not? That's how many people around him. And him looking out across knows every person's need, every person's name, every issue that they have, every circumstance that they're in, every thought that they're thinking, that he knows all their past. He knows what he has planned for them that day, and he knows where he hopes to see them in the future. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And yet, seeing all that, he doesn't go, man, this is just a mess. I'm out of here. No, time after time, when he sees the masses, what does he have? The Bible says he has compassion. John chapter 6 and verse 5, when there was a group of people, he goes and just tries to get away for a little while, and then he looks out, and there's over 5,000 there, needy, hungry people. If you've ever been around hungry people, they are not the most amiable. We have a word for that, hangry. It's a combination of hungry and angry. Imagine 5,000, 10,000 people like that. And the Lord looks out and goes, I have compassion on that. I care about all those. Hey, the press didn't scare the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows everybody by name and where they're all at. May I say the danger of the masses, just because everyone is doing something doesn't make it right. We see that in Exodus chapter 32. And out came this golden calf. I don't know, right? Just because everyone did it didn't make it right. Daniel chapter 3, everyone bowed to the image except for a few. Let us remember that. So what do we see here? We see the press. But in the midst of this group of people, in our story, one is singled out. Just one. A man by the name of Zacchaeus. Again, he is the chief among the publicans. He's rich. And just so happens, God tells us about his height. Little in stature. Again, God knows the individual. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our hearts, and he knows our thoughts. So when you are crying out to God and thinking, nobody knows, God knows. He knows what you're thinking, he knows what you're feeling, he knows what you're going through, he knows all that. He knew Zacchaeus wasn't there just for the show. He was there to try and get to Jesus. And he made that work. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I've seen it time and time and time and time again. A person that desires to know the truth, It's amazing how God makes a way. If you're truly seeking the truth, God will make a way. He'll come find you. God sees you, He knows you, and He wants you. Isn't that something? Little Zacchaeus runs ahead. We don't know. He was probably, I don't know. And who knows? I mean, Jewish people to begin with are a little short, right? I mean, is that right? Maybe not. And he runs ahead and he climbs up in a sycamore tree. If you've ever seen a sycamore tree, right? It's got the big weird bark and it peels off patches. It's neat looking. What does he do? He climbs up in the tree and the Lord goes and he sees him there and he says this. See, look at this. He says in verse 5, make haste and come down. He's like, what are you doing there? We have a meeting, buddy. I'm going to come to your house. For today I must abide at thy house. Hey, if there's anything that would enhance the value of your home, right? Mrs. Houck. Mrs. Houck, she has a beautiful home up by the lake You and I, we would walk through that and go, wow, this thing is amazing. The view is perfect. She takes care of it so well. And the realtor came in and said, no, you got to change all these things. You got to take all this stuff off. You got to paint the walls. You got to do these different things. Why? To increase the value of your home. Make it more seller friendly. Hey, if you want to increase the value of your home, the greatest and most important thing that you could do is invite the Lord Jesus Christ in. The best thing you got going for your home is not the stucco walls or not the fireplace or the high efficiency furnace or the central air or the four stories or the columns or the two-car garage or whatever that is. Barns, nope. Having the Lord Jesus Christ in your home will make that home the most valuable home. Whether it's four walls, 3.5 walls, two-story, one-story, half a story, it doesn't matter. Having Jesus in your home changes things. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed up in Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus is kind of like your average American here. When confronted with his need for Christ, he proves himself by what he has done. Yes? You knock at someone's door and you say, hi, I'm here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, oh, I'm good. I go to, or I've done. People in their mind take their works and justify their actions or think that, hey, I've done these good things and they will replace my sin. That's not how it works. And Zacchaeus tries this with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes down and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give. He just starts telling his story. I give half my stuff away. And if by accident we don't know if this is true or not. Lord Jesus Christ doesn't verify it. But he says, if by accident I falsely take money, I restore fourfold. That's a pretty good deal. You'd want to do business with Zacchaeus. Number one, knowing that he gives half his money to charitable organizations. Zacchaeus helping out the Red Cross and helping out Camp Good Days and Special Times and doing all these good things with his money. I don't think those actual organizations were established back then. I'm just saying. You hear about that, and man, right? We what do? We buy clothes. Why? Because out of this $30 that I'm spending on this normally $6 T-shirt, they give $1 to veterans. All right, I'll buy the $30 shirt. Great, fine. And it draws us in, right? We do that. Oh, sure, I'll work with Zacchaeus. Half his money he gives to the poor. And if he does wrong, look, he's got a name for himself. He restores fourfold. And that's what Zacchaeus is telling Jesus. I'm a good man. Look at all the good I've done. Do you see the Lord's response? He says this. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He says, that's not going to save you. All your good works, Zacchaeus, aren't going to save you. He was a giver to the poor. He was a restorer. But that day, salvation showed up. When anybody tells me about those things, then I say, wow, that's great. Those are good things. I agree. And I think more people should do stuff like that. But you might want to sit down for this. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not salvation. No, sir, you need to humble yourself and accept and admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. That'll do it. Here he is seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how neat would that be? In verse 7, and here Jesus comes to his house. Zacchaeus welcomes him joyfully in verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. If Jesus Christ has lunch with anybody, he's going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But I want to warn you about this. There was a perception or a view that somebody was better than somebody else trying to get to Jesus. Let's be careful that we not do that. Let's be careful that we not go, oh, this sinner's a worse sinner than I'm a sinner. Jesus is at my house. Let us be careful. Hey, if Jesus is at our house, you know what that means? Jesus is dwelling with sinners. But do you see the arrogance? Do you see the condemnation by their words? He has gone to be a guest with that is a sinner. Do we perceive people trying to get to the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe they're a little further back in the race. We look down upon them for just trying to get to Jesus. Let us be careful. Let us be careful that we not have this same mindset. Why wouldn't the people outside of Zacchaeus' house be so excited? The Lord Jesus Christ is meeting with Zacchaeus. Shh, everyone pray. Why aren't we doing that? Hey, God's working in their heart. Let's pray. Instead, what are they trying to pull? What's that? Let's be careful that we not have that mentality. So when Jesus shows up, what happens? Salvation comes in. Kicks the doors right open. Boom! Just like maybe something like that. Probably not. But maybe Jesus had a little flair for the drama. Kicks it in. I don't think so. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Yeah, but what about all the, I give half, I've done, no. You need me. When Jesus comes into your home, salvation shows up. But not just salvation. Oh, I'm here to tell you something much better. In addition to salvation, more. So much more. He gives us security. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Familiar verse, we see it a lot, especially these days. Verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in your house, not only does salvation show up, but so does security. Fear is vanquished. Power, love, sound mind is given. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. There's a lot of homes that are, you know that phrase, walking on eggshells means? Man, you're on thin ice, same thing. Oh, I got to be so good. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He comes in and he sets all things straight and right. We just have to adhere to that. We just have to obey him. So what happens? In a home, in a marriage where there's insecurities, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up and what is replaced? Those insecurities are replaced with security. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Belief and sealed. You want to talk about security? We bought anybody notice that meat prices have gone up slightly? Anybody see that? Brother Rodeau, you notice? There you go. Yeah. Some of the cheapest meat right now, so strangely enough, are pork loins, which is nice. I mean, it's $1.49 a pound, $1.69 a pound, and you get a piece of meat about this big around and about this long. So we got one of that's like three meals for us. And so we were grilling that up tonight and cutting that big loin off and cutting them into like steaks. And I opened that thing up and I didn't realize it, but off to the side, Sarah was making herself a little salad and she put like blue cheese or ranch on it. And I'm like, oh, this meat smells bad. Because I was smelling the, I thought the meat was no longer sealed. I thought something snuck in there. I'm like, whoo, this thing smells like old cheese. Only to see Mrs. Russo eating healthy as I'm cutting up a, 32-pound piece of pork loin. Sealed. What happens? I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Him, and you know what He says? I'll seal that. I'll seal that contract. I'll seal that deal, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. He says, I'm going to keep that contract with you sealed until I come back. Until you walk these, it's all set. You want to talk about security? When Jesus Christ shows up in your house, not only is salvation show up, but security shows up. Hey, you got kids that are scared half to death about what's happening out in this world? Introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you could do. Why? There's hope and promise in those things. Heard, believed, sealed. Lastly, when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua 1, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Zacchaeus was a successful businessman. And the Lord showed up into his house. And He says, let me teach you about real success. Let me explain to you some things. Let me explain to you salvation. Let me explain to you my security. Let me explain to you, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. You want success? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that's the most important thing. Sometimes we get a little off in our priorities when we're not seeking the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. If we put anything above the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture calls that idolatry. Say, God, I want to be successful. And follow me. That day, Zacchaeus' house got turned upside down. What happened? Jesus showed up. Turned upside down for the better. Hey, I ask tonight, is Jesus Christ the focal point of your home? Would you say Jesus is in your home tonight? Has salvation showed up? Is every member of your family saved? Is there the security that Christ brings? And then, are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you yielded to His leading and guiding for your life? Or are you telling God, are the sheep telling the shepherd where to go? Hey, that's dangerous. Or are we following the voice of the shepherd in our life? Let's all stand. That little guy, Zacchaeus. Man, what a great lesson. We see the personal interaction between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine Christ saying your name. Man, I can't wait for that. Zacchaeus, come on. I'm going to your house today. What are you doing up in the treehouse? Right? Hey, let us be careful. Let us be sure to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our home. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're seeking the Lord honestly, truthfully, you'll find Him. He knows every face in the crowd. He knows every need that's there. And amazingly, He can meet all of those. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the encouragement we find in it. Lord, I pray You'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, once again, we pray for those families in Texas tonight that are so broken and so altered by horrific acts of violence. Lord, I pray that You would comfort them. Lord, I pray for Your grace upon them. Lord, I pray that they would turn to You for strength, for help, for forgiveness. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I pray for our little ones. God, may we be faithful in introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us with these things. We love You and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.